The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in it by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters the gate by the is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout this pandemic, there's been a lot of folks that perhaps before went unrecognized, but now we realize the importance of these folks. People like our nurses and our doctors and our emergency medical personnel, all those who are working tirelessly to help keep us safe and to bring an end to this pandemic. But there's another group of folks that we have also come to appreciate very much, and these are some of the most underappreciated people in the world. They are teachers. And we realize how important they are because all of a sudden, the things that they're expected to do from day to day have been thrust back upon parents. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm pretty lucky. My youngest child is in the 8th grade, and my oldest child is finishing up her freshman year in college. If she wants me to help her with anatomy and statistics this week, she's just going to be out of luck. And with 8th grade, a lot of the instruction is happening online, and teachers are filming themselves giving lectures. But now our elementary school kids, that's a different story, isn't it? Many of you parents out there are having to understand and instruct your children. And I got to be honest with you. I've had to teach my kids many things. And it can be the most frustrating, infuriating thing in the world to do. I mean, you ever taught your kid to ride a bike? Oh, good gracious. Is anything more frustrating than that? I mean, I guess with some kids it's easy. I mean, actually with my oldest daughter, I went outside with her, took the training wheels off, and she was on the bike, and I got distracted talking to a neighbor. The next thing I know, I turn around and she's riding a bike around the cul-de-sac. My youngest, however, it was a different story. I had to run with her, with my hand on the seat the whole time. "Don't let go, Daddy, don't let go, Daddy, don't let go, Daddy." Half the time she'd get off balance because she'd be reaching around to make sure that I didn't let go. And she was petrified that I was going to let go and just allow her to fall and bust her face. And I kept trying to tell her, "Mary Margaret, I love you. I don't want to see you get hurt. I don't want anything to happen to you. Why would you think that I'm just going to push you over? Just trust me. Trust me." And the more I wanted her to trust me, it felt like the less that she did. But I guess that's kind of the way we all are, right? I mean, giving out our trust is challenging. You know how I know? How many of you like roller coasters? I don't know why I just asked you to raise your hand. It's not like I'm going to see it. And if you raise your hand at home, the person next to you is going to be like, "Why are you raising your hand? He can't see you." But anyway, you know whether or not you like roller coasters. But here's the thing. I love roller coasters, but every time I'm about to get on them, I get nervous. I get a little scared, you know? Why? What do I think is going to happen? I mean, the reality is 1 in 16 million people get hurt on a roller coaster. It's more likely that you'll be struck by lightning 2 or 3 times than getting hurt on a roller coaster. And yet every single time we're afraid that we will. Even if we love them, that's the fear we have. But you know what it is? It's control. I mean, we're not just afraid then. I mean, how many of you are horrible passengers when you're riding in a car with somebody? They're driving down the road and you just want to take the wheel and jerk it from them because if they start fading off a little bit or you think they're not paying attention, it is nerve-wracking to ride with somebody else, isn't it? And I don't care who you are, I'm guessing that if you fly every day, you still get a little twinge in your stomach when you get on an airplane. Why? Because we don't have control. And at the end of the day, we've got trust issues, don't we? I mean, this is shown abundantly through this pandemic, hasn't it? We don't know who to trust, and so we don't necessarily trust anybody. Just this week, there were two doctors that came out on YouTube, and they said that all of the social distancing and closing stores was just silly, and that we needed to open everything back up. And it was felt that their comments were so damaging that YouTube actually took them off the air because they claiming that it was destructive to the health of the nation. But we're hearing differing things, aren't we? We're hearing something from our president and our governor, and then we're hearing different things from our friends and what's on the internet. And we don't know who to trust, do we? I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you've locked it down. Oh, well, I trust this person or I trust this person. But the reality is we don't trust much of anybody right now. And honestly, we're having a hard time trusting God, too. I mean, are we really trusting that God's in control of all this? I mean, there's a sign that I drive by on the way to work most days, and it says, God is still in control. Do we trust that? Do we trust that there's going to be an end to this? Do we trust that people are making the right decisions? Who do we trust? That's kind of the thing that's going on in this morning's gospel reading. You see, Jesus had just healed a boy who had been blind since birth. And when he did it, he healed this man on the Sabbath day. And so all of the religious officials were a little up in arms about all this because surely someone of God would not have done this. He would have known better. And so they're questioning this guy and his family. Who did this? How would he do this? And so all of this is going on. And the religious leaders, the ones you would expect, would know that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is a Messiah, were the very ones who are rejecting him. And so this, what we have here are the statements that Jesus says following that. And he starts off by saying that people who don't come in by the gate are thieves and bandits. And that the sheep know the shepherd's voice and that they follow him in and out. Meaning, we are the sheep. And we follow Jesus, right? We know the shepherd's voice, and we're not going to listen to the other voices out there. We know his voice. We follow him because we're afraid of the strangers. We're afraid of those thieves and bandits, and that we will only follow our good shepherd. We trust him. You know what's striking about this passage? Isn't that we trust God. It's that Jesus is saying he trusts us. Isn't that crazy? God, the creator of heaven and earth, is saying he trusts you and me to follow his voice. That's insane, isn't it? You are trusted by God. How does that feel? And not only that, when he says that the sheep hear his voice, they said, and he follows them out of the gate, out of safety, into the world. He trusts us to go out into the world, to be his ambassadors, to represent and represent Jesus Christ to the world. He trusts us. Jesus is saying, hey, folks, you got this. You're my sheep. You got this. You can do this. Wow. God trusts us. from there, the parable kind of switches places. Jesus goes from being the shepherd to being the gate. The gate that brings the sheep in and out. And what we're seeing here is, Jesus says, I trust you, and I got you. I got you. You got this, and I got you. Because I'm going to let you in and out to green pastures, to the pastures, so that you will be nourished and fed, and you will be taken care of. You got this, but I got you. That is the message that we're hearing in this passage today. Jesus says, I trust you, and I got you. It's like learning to ride that bike, right? It's cheering your kid on. You got this, but running right next to him, but I got you. See, that is the message that we get in this parable this morning. You got this, and I got you. And when Jesus says, I got you, what he wants for us, he says, you will have life and have it abundantly. Jesus isn't just saying, hey, you're going to have a life. This isn't about breathing in and out and your heart beating. He's saying, with me, you will have abundant life. You will be all that I intend you to be. You will have all that I intend you to have. That's what Christ wants for all of us. It isn't just life, it's abundant life. And that's what it means to follow him. When we follow Christ, we have the life that he intends us to have. We get all the things that he intends for us. Isn't that absolutely incredible? And so, my friends, I want you to really take to heart this week that God trusts you. God trusts you to go out and be his representative in the world. And so ask yourself, what am I showing to other people? When they see me and they see the face of Christ, what face are they seeing? Am I listening to his voice? Am I following the good shepherd? Or am I following the easy path? The safe path, the path that the world wants me to go? Or am I following that good shepherd, the one that leads me to life and life abundant? And so right now there's a lot of decisions that are being made for us and that we have to make for ourselves. Tomorrow the governor is taking away the worker home order. And so we're allowed to go out a little bit more. And so that for some, that's absolutely wonderful. And for others, that's absolutely frightening. But here's the reality for Christians. What is the question we should be asking ourselves? Isn't what does this mean for me? But what does this mean for my neighbor? How will that impact those around me? You see, that's what it means to follow the shepherd. It means following the shepherd into thinking beyond ourselves, beyond what makes me happy, beyond what I want, and being led to what Christ wants and what will benefit our neighbors and the world. Brothers and sisters, God says to us, I trust you. You got this. You got this. It's in your hands. You got this. But I got you. No matter what, I've got you. And he brings us to not just life, but life abundant. And this is the good news of the risen Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.